You're listening to SBS News.
At this time of year, this venue in Salem would be hosting Oregon State Fair. Instead, it's a displacement camp. Inside the huge hall, volunteers hand out food and clothing. Outside, some of the thousands that fled their homes as the wildfires swept through are staying in tents or trailers. Among them, we find Summer Negron, her husband and two children, who drove as all around them the forest burned.
It's a very surreal feeling, and, you know, there's nothing you can do except try to just move faster. But it's, you know, I got two babies in the back that are scared.
And what were you able to leave with? You talk about your children and your animals.
We got our pets, my kids. My mom had 10 minutes to get out of her place, and she got the clothes on her back and the cat, and that was it. And her house is completely annihilated. It wiped out everything she owned, and, you know, and that's what we heard was the same with ours. We're not sure as of right now. I think a lot of us are in that position of not knowing, and that's one of the scary feelings of not knowing. You know, we can't go home anytime soon, but is there a home to go to?
Summer and her family can't go back to her home in Gates, but the fire department cautiously allowed us to accompany them down towards the town. The drive was eerie, entirely conducted through thick, orange-tinged smoke throughout the canyon. Reports were coming in of active firefighting still taking place not far away. We passed through an area where, as Sergeant Jeremy Landers of the local sheriff's office explains, not everyone made it out alive.
So to this point, we have 4 confirmed fatalities in the fire. Of those, 2 of which we've been able to confirm their identity, and that would be of 13-year-old Wyatt Tofty and 71-year-old Peggy Masso. They were in a vehicle together along with Wyatt's dog.
A grandmother and grandson of a family who thought they had another day before they had to leave their home. Anthony Booker of Oregon State Fire Marshals told me that what made this such a shockingly vicious fire that spread so fast and caught so many off guard was extremely high winds.
The wind event was a substantial event without the fire, and the wind event did not stop when the fire started. There was people that had no idea that the fire was coming and had barely gotten out of their houses in time, vehicles that were partially melted going down the road. I myself was given 2 individuals that had just gotten out of the river that had actually been there for hours and had watched their house burn and had taken refuge in the river.
In the end, we couldn't get to the home of Summer, who we met back in Salem. The signs weren't good, though. So much had been reduced to charred rubble all around. Very few people were there, but we met Larry, who was wandering, looking bewildered, close to where his home had been.
Did you see yourself the fire coming through?
I called in the fire. I was the first one to see the fire. I stayed there for about a half hour before the fire department came. I lost everything except what's in that bag. Everything. And I didn't have insurance. But
just explain where your cabin was.
My spot was right over here, across from what was cabins.
Right, it's not there anymore.
These are scenes playing out over vast areas of the northwestern United States, and while there's been a great deal of political point scoring over this disaster, at its heart are hundreds of thousands of Americans who faced fear, displacement, ruin, and loss.